Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Everybody, happy Friday to you, America. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. I am your voice of hope and truth across the fruited plain. Wow, we've got a lot to get through today and some crazy stories to share with you. Wow. Also, it is Open Line Friday, and I love Open Line Friday. You never know what people are going to call in and talk about, the questions they're going to ask. But very happy to take your calls today. Write down our telephone number. You will need this, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Now, kicking off the day with some Good Friday good news. A New York judge, that would be Judge Juan Merchan, has now granted Trump's request to file a motion to dismiss the charges in the New York v. Trump case. Also, the judge removed the sentencing date from the court schedule. Now, Trump's attorneys have until next week, that would be December the 2nd, to file their motion for dismissal. And Merchan said Alvin Bragg has until December 9th to respond. So the good news here is another massive, massive win. And really, it is a decisive legal victory for the president. And of course, this Manhattan case, it was just a hoax case. I mean, folks, come on. Nobody really thought that this was going to go anywhere. So good news for President-elect Trump. And don't be surprised if all the other cases go away. This is what lawfare looks like in the United States of America. By the way, congratulations to our good friend Pam Bondi, a regular on the program. And Pam is now the nominee to be Attorney General, replacing Matt Gaetz. And already people are saying that she's a Trump loyalist, that she's been on Fox News. What they're not telling you is that Pam Bondi is going to be one of the most well-qualified attorney generals in the history of the Republic. She has an incredible resume and, of course, spending 8 years as the attorney general for the great state of Florida. But Pam Bondi is, she's rock solid. And even some in the mainstream media are begrudgingly saying that she's actually pretty good. As a matter of fact, the folks over at MSDNC are freaking out because they're saying that Pam Bondi is actually more dangerous than Matt Gaetz would have been. Let's take a listen to cut one.
Pam Bondi is exactly what I was saying in the last segment that we should all fear because she's competent. We may not agree with her ideologically, but she actually knows how to do this job. So if anyone on the Democratic side or anyone who cared about liberty or justice was thinking, well, maybe Matt Gaetz will screw this up and that'll give us some time. No, Pam Bondi knows what she's doing. She knows what she's doing about immigration. Remember, Florida is one of those states that's been very aggressive about migrants and deportation and moving people to different states and everything else like that. Florida has enacted all sorts of rules and laws to curtail students and what they can do on campuses and finding legal justifications for manipulating education money. She is a dangerous and effective pick, and that's frankly worse than what we would have got with Matt Gaetz, even with the deplorable moral background that he has.
So sort of a backhanded compliment there. CNN's Scott Jennings says that this is a big upgrade over Matt Gaetz. Cut number two.
Is this just a confirmation that would essentially sail through, Scott, or not? Well, I don't think you could consider anybody, you know, just they're going to sail without any kind of real process. She's going to have to go through a process like everybody else. But I can tell you, this is a massive upgrade. I've talked to a couple people up on the Hill already. There's a sigh of relief that now we have somebody here, two-term AG, strong record on drug enforcement and opioid issues, a total hawk on immigration, politically supportive of Trump, obviously. I don't know a Republican in the country who doesn't love Pam Bondi. So you were starting with Gates, a nominee who was underwater significantly to start and was going to always be hard to get to the surface. Mm-hmm. With Bondi, I do think you're starting above water. And as long as she performs in her hearings, and look, this is somebody who's been through two elections in a really big state. And so a lot of public vetting of her has gone on already. So I think this is a great move by Trump to be pragmatic and tell Gates to get out, and a really good move to go with Bondi. This is not a shaky limb. This is a sturdy branch he's going with for AG here.
Well, yes, a very, not only a sturdy branch, but an intelligent branch, a strong branch, and a beautiful branch. By the way, I mean, we've got a pretty good looking administration coming on board, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying it. We all think it, so there's nothing wrong with saying it. Trump's got some good looking folks in his cabinet. So there was, again, people out there saying, well, she's not qualified. But even over on CNN, Eli Honig noting that this is a very, very qualified candidate.
Pam Bondi is, without a question, qualified to be attorney general. She's been a prosecutor for 20 years in Florida. For eight of those, she was the attorney general of the state. That's a very big, very complicated job. And that level of experience is on par with or better than most United States attorneys general that we've seen over the past 50 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. So well done, President Trump. Now, a lot of folks are trying to figure out what happened last night. What happened with Matt Gaetz? Is this some sort of a 4D chess move? Maybe. I don't know why President Trump didn't pick Pam Bondi first. I think she would have been a great, great first choice. And some people say, well, Matt Gaetz was the sacrificial lamb. So they were always going to attack and destroy the president's first pick. And that may be the case. The reality of it is this, that at least four, possibly five senators were definite no votes in the, you know, when it came time for confirmation. And of course, Susan Collins Murkowski, you've got Mark Wayne Mullins out of Oklahoma, and you also have Mitch McConnell and the guy out of Utah. So those were the definite no votes. That was enough to tank the confirmation. And those numbers weren't going to change. As a matter of fact, other senators would have been compelled to vote no as well. And it could have been a very ugly black eye for President Trump. But it seems to me, if nothing else, we now know who the hardcore rhinos are in the U.S. Senate. And we need to pay very close attention to that. You folks in Oklahoma, I want to take if Ben Dieter will allow me, I want to take a brief exit off of the interstate and pull into the Buc-ee's for just a moment so we can have a conversation about Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. What's going on with that guy? You know, he came into Congress and he was a rock solid conservative and just hardcore. And now he's just going a little squirrely. And I'm curious to know what that's all about. So Mark Wayne Mullen was asked to weigh in on a huge controversy in Oklahoma. The state school superintendent, Ryan Walters, we've had him on the show many times. He was just on This Week, I believe. And Mark Wayne Mullen, or Ryan Walters, rather, wants the Bible to be taught historically in the classroom. Now, let me explain the context of this. They're not taking kids from Genesis through Revelation. What they're doing is, let's just say they're talking about the U.S. Constitution, and there may be a reference to a Bible verse. Well, the teacher would explain that within the context of the Constitution or the lesson. All right. So it's not like they were going into Bible school 101, and everybody knows that. So Senator Mullen was asked about this, and he is not a fan of schools teaching the Bible. Cut number six.
Since I was raised in a very strong Christian family, I've raised my kids in a very strong Christian family. Assemblies of God And I want them to know the Bible, but I want it to be taught by someone that was taught the Bible themselves, too. I think it's a slippery slope when you put it in the hands of teachers that may not be believers, that's going to be teaching the word that can easily be taken out of context. So if the state is going to require that, then the state should also be, it be required that it's taught by someone that graduated from seminary school. If you just leave it in the hands of a public school teacher that may be not able to actually teach it because they haven't, they weren't taught it themselves, then it's, it can cause a tremendous amount of confusion. Keep in mind that that may be the only time that child gets the word taught to them. And if it's not taught right, the Bible warns of that.
So he's not a fan of the public schools teaching the Bible. I have a question. I'd be curious to know from the senator, does he also, would he also have a problem with prayer being reinstituted back into the public school system? You know, back when I was growing up, back in the 1970s, the dark ages, the school, we would start the day, we would have a prayer, and we would say the Pledge of Allegiance. And then once a year, the Gideons would come in, and they would give the children, the little godless heathen school children, little Bibles. That's the way things were for many, many years. By the way, back in those days, you know what we did not have? We didn't have school shootings. We didn't have those massive brawls. We didn't have kids fighting teachers. We didn't have any of that kind of stuff when I was growing up. Even into high school in the 80s, I never had any of that. And yet there was, though, within the school, there was a sense of morality. So the senator here, and I get where he's coming from. I mean, yeah, you don't want anybody teaching the Bible, but again, that's not what this is all about. So I'm not understanding why he is making a controversy where there is not a controversy. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, to the point, back to the Senate. Mark Wayne Mullen looks like he is moderating his beliefs. And that happens a lot with these conservatives when they go to Washington, D.C., which is why you got to keep your eye on everybody. This is far from over. This is not going to be a cakewalk for President Trump. It's going to be a fight. And a lot of the time, he's going to be fighting members of his own party. So we've got to be willing to fight alongside the president. And we've got to hold our elected leaders accountable. And we've got to make sure they're heading down the right path. Now, I also want to say this, and this is incumbent upon us. We need to be in touch on a regular basis, a routine basis with our elected leaders, because you know who is? All of the lobbyists. They're up there hobnobbing, whining, and dining our elected leaders. And when that's the only voice they're listening to, that's a problem. So you got to pick up the phone. You got to send an email. All right, we've got to take a break. Going to the phones, 901-260-5926. Do you think public schools should be teaching the Bible? Should we have prayer back in school? This is the Todd Stern Show.
The story of MyPillow is a testament to faith and transformation. Mike Lindell, once battling addiction, found a new path when he embraced faith and began following Jesus. In gratitude, Mike is excited to share an exclusive offer with our listeners. Right now, the standard MyPillow is available for just $14.88, a savings that's too good to pass up. There's a limit of 10 per customer, so don't wait to take advantage of this amazing deal now with promo code STARNS. Mike believes God gave him the idea for MyPillow in a dream, and it's designed with your comfort in mind. The pillow holds its shape and adapts perfectly to your unique sleep position, helping keep your neck aligned for the best night's sleep. And there's more. Take home a four-piece kitchen set for only $25. Enjoy the new mattress topper at $99.99 or pick up the luxurious MyPillow bed sheet starting at $49.98. Visit MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to unlock huge discounts. Don't miss out. Order today.
Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. It's been a long time. Jerry the Liberal from Milwaukee is on the line. Hey, Jerry, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I've been busy at work, so.
Well, welcome back, Jerry.
Okay. So, as you can imagine, I vehemently disagree with you. I would never vote for Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. To me, it's way too right-wing, way too much of a theocratic. He's just, I guess, compared to you, he's not. Simply, the government shouldn't be teaching about religion as true or pushing prayers. Students can pray. They have the perfect right to pray. And if their rights are discriminated, and if they choose to pray and the school opposes it, I'm on your side. You know, I'm all for free exercise. But the government shouldn't have mandated prayers or organized prayers as they had 60, 70 years ago. The rights of, you know, students should be respected. The government should be involved pushing or organizing religion on students. Just be neutral when it comes to religion.
Jerry, how do you feel about teaching the Bible within the context of our founding fathers and the founding documents? And if there's a reference to, say, you know, God, the teacher at that point can explain, yeah, this is where that idea came from historical context.
You probably don't want me to teach you the way I think the relation of the Bible is to our founding fathers and the Constitution, because the Bible contradicts, it's in complete conflict with the Constitution. Constitution guarantees religious liberty. The Bible commands you to worship this God on pain of death. So if we're going to teach that, I would point that out, that they have nothing to do with each other, and they're in complete opposition, and the founding fathers gave us a secular enlightenment state.
But God is
not the Bible.
Well, I would disagree with that. I mean, when you read the writings of our founding fathers, it was very clear, and the reason why the pilgrims came here in the first place, they want to be able to worship without getting thrown into jail over in the UK.
Okay, the pilgrims didn't believe in religious liberty. The first one who believed...
No, they did. That's why they came here.
For themselves.
That's why they came here.
No, they believed in religious liberty for themselves. The first true American or, you know, colonist who believed in religious liberty was Roger Wilmes, who believed in religious liberty of others to practice their religious beliefs. The pilgrims didn't really believe in religious liberty of others. They persecuted others. They persecuted Roger Wilmes and other people.
But that's why we have freedom of religion now. You can come and practice your faith in this country. As long as you don't want to blow me up, I'm good with that. You have the right not to worship at all under the precepts and teachings of Christianity.
Yeah, and I do.
It's your choice.
Right, and I don't want government-organized Bible readings and prayers that used to once exist, because it infringes on the rights of students to be free from the power of the state.
What's wrong with having a prayer, to just a generic Almighty God prayer delivered at the beginning of the school day?
What's wrong with having a generic statement saying there's no God at the beginning of the school
because
day?
Because there is a God.
Well, you say there is. I believe there is, probably isn't. So what's wrong with that?
All right, Jerry, I suspect many of our listeners will disagree. But again, on this program, ladies and gentlemen, those who disagree go to the top of the line. Jerry, good hearing from you. Don't be a stranger. Let's go to Tina in North Georgia. All right, Tina, you just heard Jerry, the liberal. He says, hey, good. We don't need God or the Bible in schools.
Well, I disagree with him, but I don't disagree with Mark Wayne Mullen. I think that if the teachers of this public school system can do what they did with sex and all that kind of thing, all that sort of perversion, they would totally pervert the Bible. And I just don't think that they would have, I don't think they'd take it literally or in context. I think they would, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them would just butcher it and talk about things that are absolutely not true.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I'm not sure I want somebody who doesn't even know what their pronoun is to be teaching, you know, the book of Revelation to the kids. I get that.
That's the only objection I have, is they've shown what they can do to different things, and I don't think they should be in charge of even probably referencing the Bible. I mean, it's fine to have a prayer in school and all that stuff, but I just don't trust half these woke teachers.
So here's the thought, Tina. Tina, what do you mind sharing? What denomination, what flavor are you, Tina?
I'm Atlanta, First Baptist Atlanta Baptist.
All right, so you're a Baptist. You're a good old-fashioned Baptist. I have a question, and this is, in all seriousness, this is my one concern about the prayer. What happens if it's a Catholic prayer? Or what happens if it's a Hindu prayer? Or,
right.
You know, some other, you know what I'm saying? So, again, I don't mind having a moment set aside if a child wants to pray, and I think that's fine. But having a corporate prayer, is that such a good thing? Tina, good thoughts, good call. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. No, I'm not a heathen, Dylan. I mean, do you want a foot washing Baptist washing kids' feet? No, I don't think so. I could be wrong. I don't know. It's Friday. We'll be right back.
Balance of Nature Supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm a doctor myself. I've used it, and I've turned a lot of my patients on to it as well. It's a good product.
I've actually taken the bottles up to them, and you know, my doctor, he tells me, keep doing it.
I am 87 years old, and I am an RN, and my PhD work is in anatomy and physiology. I watched your advertisement on TV, and I thought, I'll try it for just a month. I have stayed on it. Just think it is a marvelous product.
Start your journey with Balance of Nature Supplements. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
So, an interesting story crossed my desk earlier today from East Tennessee State University. This story, the lead story at Campus Reform, Emma Arnes is the fine writer over there. And this is a shocker, primarily because it's happening in Tennessee. An art exhibit on display at East Tennessee State University features many works that focus solely on socially and politically engaged themes. Photographs of various art pieces obtained by Campus Reform display images of President-elect Donald Trump alongside swastikas, Hitler, and what appears to be KKK hoods. One image features House Speaker Mike Johnson with swastikas transforming into Christian crosses. The symbolism there is that Christianity is akin to Nazism. Also, there is a Klan hood, a KKK hood, that has been created out of an American flag at East Tennessee State University. We have the photos at toddstarns.com. Go check them out. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Connor Vincent is the vice president of East Tennessee State University's Turning Point USA chapter and was interviewed for the Campus Reform story. Connor, good to have you on the show today.
It's good to be on here. I appreciate this opportunity to speak about the stuff that's going on here on campus.
So this is all part of an art exhibit on campus, is that right?
Yep, this is in what's called the Reese Museum, and we had found this out about a month and a half ago before we reached out to news outlets in Johnson City to express the concerns of myself, all of TPUSA, and many students on campus.
I'm curious about that. Has it generated a lot of outrage among students?
It hasn't, just because, I mean, the Reese Museum isn't very popular on campus. Not a lot of people go in there, take the time to go in there. So when we received the pictures, it was very disturbing because nobody ever really thinks that something like that would be in a college university's museum, let alone in Tennessee, like you said. But it was just shocking that we decided that we should make a story out of it and kind of just let the university students know that may not have seen it. So
now I know that some people were interviewed by the local TV station, and one of the individuals who was a juror for the exhibition talked about, oh, well, we just want to really, you know, promote thought and start conversations. So I'm curious, Connor, were there any depictions of Kamala Harris in a Klan robe, or, I don't know, Barack Obama looking for his birth certificate or something like that?
There was nothing of that type, anything depicting Kamala Harris in a violent way, nothing of AOC, nothing of Barack Obama, nothing of Michelle Obama or any Democrat politician at that. It was just strictly Mike Johnson, Donald Trump, and just, I guess, anti-American stuff. And it just kind of was bad to see because, like I said, that's a way to start conversation, but it ain't the conversation that we should be trying to bring about on campus. It's just spreading hate and It's just not the best way to start a conversation.
No, it's not. No, of course not. Oh, very nice to meet you. So you're a Nazi. No, I mean, come on. It's nuts. What got me, Connor, was this image of the Klan hood, the KKK hood, and that's an American flag. That's what it was made out of.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It was disgusting to see that. It genuinely took my breath away to see something like that. Something so hateful, not even to the American flag, but to all Americans who feel represented by the flag, which should be every American. But to see that Americans are just thought of as people that take pride in the flag, I guess, being looked at as KKK members or, you know, white supremacists, it's just hard to see because there's a lot of people that obviously means nothing to them. And most people that take pride in the American flag have no ever thought of the KKK or white supremacy. So it's just shocking to see that.
So, Connor, have you guys reached out to anybody at the university's administration to talk about this, to say, you know, this is clearly, I get it, you know, art is supposed to be, I guess, you know, spark conversation, but this is nuts.
Yeah, we had reached out to the president of the campus, Dr. Brian Nolan, and I believe we have a meeting to sit down with him because we aren't arguing the fact that it's freedom of speech. They have the right to technically do that. It's just we're expressing our concerns and wanted it to be known by other students in the Tri-Cities area here in Johnson City and just kind of get that out there so people know. We're not trying to get it taken down. We just want, you know, equal opportunity. Like, there's nothing in there. First of all, my team, nor anyone at this campus, I believe, on the conservative side, would ever put something in there violent against Kamala Harris or Barack Obama, but you know, no one ever had an opportunity to put any artwork in there that, you know, opposes what's in there already. So that's kind of what we're spreading in this area.
This was an un-American, anti-Trump, anti-Republican art display. I mean, that's really what it is.
That's all it is.
All right. Well, we reached out to the university early this morning for a comment, and we have yet to get one. We spoke to someone there in the comms department, and they passed us along, and we left an email. But again, nobody's reaching out. I am glad that you guys spoke out, Connor, and I think the taxpayers of Tennessee are going to be stunned to learn what their money's being used for there at East Tennessee State University.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, and from what I've heard, the word is that the money that was, they're raffling off these quote-unquote art projects or art pieces to then give a scholarship to students here on campus. So the money that's being generated by this hate and portraying Christians as Nazis and, you know, all this kind of stuff that they're portraying is funding someone's school here at East Tennessee State.
That's disgusting.
It's absolutely disgusting, and I have no doubt about it that they won't reach out to you. We try to reach out to multiple people on different issues other than this on campus. We don't really get any response, so they'll probably just keep passing you along. But
well, that's all right. We've made some other contacts at the state capitol. So if they don't want to listen to us, they're going to have to listen to the people that provide their funding, and we're going to get to the bottom of that lickety split.
Absolutely. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
All right, Connor. Well done. And you guys hang in there. Thank you for exposing this chaos and craziness on your campus. And good luck to you. What's your major, Connor?
I major in criminal justice with a minor in political science.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like you're going to have a great career. Good luck to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity, Todd.
All right. Connor Vincent, who is the vice president of East Tennessee State University's Turning Point USA chapter. And I appreciate what Connor said. They don't have a problem with the free speech aspect of it. But what they're concerned about is where's the balance? I mean, and again, to his point, I don't think you would ever have conservatives out there creating art that would portray Democrats in such a horrible, horrible fashion. But the image of that Klan hood crafted out of an American flag, that one, folks, I just can't. I can't get my head wrapped around that one. I just can't. All right, so you folks in Tennessee, are you okay with your tax dollars being used to support East Tennessee State University? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to take a quick break here. Go right to our phone lines. This is Open Line Friday on the Todd Stern Show.
I don't really like like working?
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first-year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm going to need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room? My pronouns are Z's and Z's.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.work and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. Redballoon.work.
All right, let's go to the phones. 901-260-5926. Michael in McKenzie, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM today. Hi, Michael. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Todd. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Well, I heard you guys talking about prayer in school and, you know, teaching the Bible in school. And as a believer myself, I don't think that's a good idea.
Why not? Why don't you think it's a good idea, Michael?
Well, as a believer, I'm always taught, you know, to believe deeply in my faith and hold my faith dearly. Cling to my relationship with Christ. However, if we were to allow the Bible to be taught in school and bring prayer back in school, there's 10 million other religions, because of our Constitution, that would deserve the same right. Therefore, we would be exposing our children to those other teachings, and I just prefer that my faith be taught at home and in church.
Michael, what if somebody pushed back and said, well, you know what, our country, though, was founded, or at least was meant to be a Christian nation. Should that not be the dominant religion that flavors American society and culture?
Well, let's look at it. American society and culture. It doesn't have to start in the classroom. It doesn't have to be done in the classroom. I just feel that for the safety of protecting our freedom of religion in America, that we need to keep it out of school, and in turn, that keeps every other religion out of the school. I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to take away reading, writing, and arithmetic? They've already pretty much done
They've already done that. Kids can't even write cursive
anymore. And make the entire day teaching all of these religions?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the minute that we institute a Bible class or prayer in school, every religion around the world is going to come out of the woodwork and they're going to demand the same thing. And if not, we're going to be called a bunch of bigots and everything else. It's going to lead to more political division in this country. And right now we need to come together.
Michael, I want to bring Bill from Jackson, Tennessee into the conversation. And Bill, you're on the air with Michael from McKenzie, Tennessee. Bill, you're in Jackson. And you say that prayer and Bible in school is vital.
Yes, it's very vital. I'm a 1958 model. I was raised, taught, and just like you said before, in the days of my upcoming of upbringing, we acted out. But, you know, we had unity in knowing the national anthem and a prayer. And we didn't have all these school shootings and stuff. Why can't we stand up for what this country was brought up on?
Michael, how do you respond to that?
Well, if we can do that and just set aside, say, a specific room, you know, that kids could go to at their own will to go pray, do whatever they want to do in there, whatever their religion may be, I'm all for that. My fear, like I said, don't get me wrong, I would love to see the Bible taught. I would love to see prayer, but like I stated, you're going to have every other religion getting the same treatment in the schools, and it's going to have to be taught.
And well, Bill, go ahead.
The thing about that disturbs me is when, for instance, just like our language, our English, we have people coming into the country and we cater to them to use their dialect, trilingual, whatever the case may be, but we don't emphasize that this is America. You decided to come here. No, we're not trying to impose anything on you, but we're standing up for our heritage. We're standing up for what we were taught.
I think the challenge here, though, Bill, is when you do when you drill down, is there a prayer that all the religions would be able to agree on? Because the Catholics are going to pray a lot different than the Baptists. And the Baptists are going to pray differently than the Pentecostals. I mean, what happens if a kid gets up and prays and he's a member of the Church of God and in the middle of the prayer he starts, you know, praying in tongues? Then you have to have somebody there to interpret. So, I mean, logistically speaking, okay, you want to have a Christian prayer. Who gets to determine what that prayer looks like?
Well, you know, that's there again. Much like it brings unity. That's one thing it does. It brings everybody to come together as a whole, as you know, and safe.
But it really doesn't. I'm sorry, Bill, but it really doesn't, because those who don't believe are not being included. They're out in the open, you know. I personally just feel that unity is achieved better by making the schoolhouse a level playing field. You know, and believe me, my faith in Christ is strong. That's one thing that I hold dearly. I couldn't live one single day without my faith. But
well, let me jump in here, Michael, because I want to try to work in a couple of other calls. And Michael and Bill, I appreciate both you guys, and you make a lot of good sense here. I would be more concerned, and thank you for the call, guys. I would be more concerned about whether or not there is prayer in the home. That to me seems to be where kids need to be getting their upbringing. And again, do we really want to entrust the religious teaching of our kids to a bunch of teachers who don't even know their preferred pronouns? Let's go to Pam in Freeport, Maine, listening to us on WLOB. All right, Pam, what say you?
Hi, Todd. I say we should have at least the mention of God. Some children don't even know what God is, and maybe that would prompt some sort of interest and bring the parent back into maybe giving the child some sort of education on God. Doesn't matter what religion, just, you know, in God we trust and say the Pledge of Allegiance and we say amen. Why? That's
or,
all.
Or the Ten Commandments.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, Pam, I think that makes sense. So you could agree that, okay, here are some fundamental things we want kids to know about the Bible and the way it fits into the founding of our country.
That's correct. Exactly.
All right, that makes sense.
Then, yes, I mean, interest or might spark somebody to actually find out what religion's all about. That's an atheist. Maybe, you know, I don't know, just... I can't say it wouldn't hurt.
Education, Pam. Education. All right, Pam, God bless you. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to Patricia in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Patricia. What say you?
Good morning. The reason I'm calling is because I recently learned that the Book of the United States happens to be a particular Bible, and I think it was one that was given to men who went to war. And if you Google it, you'll find the specific version of the Bible, and that Bible used to be used in schools.
Patricia, FDR made sure that every American going into battle in World War II not only had a pocket Bible, that pocket Bible was actually, it had a metal casing to stop bullets. So you're absolutely right. It's a great bit of American history.
Yes, so I thought folks would like to know that.
Yeah.
And as an aside, it could be used to teach reading like it used to be.
Either that or Shakespeare, all those these and thous. And then you got to talk about which version of the Bible. Patricia, thank you for calling in. All I can say is I don't want to be the school principal that gets the call from the Baptist mom who wants to know why her kids are reciting the rosary. I don't want to be in that room. All right, we've got to take a break here. Hour two of the big show is coming up. We're going to be talking to our good buddy, Dave Bratt. He's going to be along. Also, your calls. It is Open Line Friday. And be sure to check out ToddStearns.com. Lots of great stories for you to see there as well. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. Testing. Testing. Is the microphone on? Of course it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. It is Friday. Okay, it's like 3 degrees outside. What? What in the world? Our good friend Michelle Cox, we wrote the Biscuit Book together, and she sent some photographs from the farm. They live outside of Asheville, North Carolina, and there is snow on the ground. And Ben Dieter, if you can get to a microphone, I don't know if you heard about this. Grace Baker, the former executive producer, just posted a photograph from Chicago. And Sweet Merlot is like playing in snow. It's snowing in Chicago.
And not in Memphis. It's a shame. Do you know how cold it was? 34 degrees this morning.
Freezing.
I know.
I was off 30 degrees, but it felt like 3 degrees outside.
I know.
I walked out and walked right back in. Yeah, I'm good.
Global warming, Todd.
Unbelievable. By the way, guess what? Speaking of Asheville, North Carolina, I know we've beaten the story to death. But you're not going to believe this. Asheville, which was devastated by the hurricane, right? Everybody lost their homes. FEMA, they wouldn't go there because they've got so many Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
And they have just spent $250,000 on a brand spanking new outdoor porta potty.
Really?
Yeah, just like Wichita.
Why are these outhouses so expensive? I mean, why don't we go into that business, Todd?
You don't get toilet paper. You don't get a can of Febreze.
They're terrible. Yeah, exactly.
Or in some cases, a case.
No, I mean, I guess that's a very lucrative business. Who knows?
I guess. It's very strange. But anyway, yeah, they're spending $250,000 in Asheville and that's taxpayer money.
I mean, wow, that's just insane.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. Thank you, Ben Dieter. We'll check in with you a little bit later on. But anyway, Grace Baker out and about with a little Merlot in the snow. So look, in the last hour of the program, we were talking about Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, who is now on the record as saying we don't need to be teaching the Bible in public schools unless the teachers have a seminary degree. All right. So that's what Senator Mark Wayne Mullins is saying. And a lot of folks are fired up about this. Let's go to Richard in Ocala, Florida. Richard, are you for or against?
Well, I'm for the Bible being put back in the school. You know, more than I knew, it was there for centuries. But I have a different view on it. One, they could read it. You know what I'm saying? They could read a few verses every day. And as far as prayer, I don't think it ought to be a generic prayer. I think just if they have a prayer, pray from the heart, whoever's doing the praying. And then as far as Mike's concerned, that everybody else is going to put their religion there. You know, the Lord wasn't trying to level the playing field. He said, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And of course, that's Jesus Christ. I think we should put the Bible back like Gideon's used to. And I think they use the King James Version. I think that's what we ought to use. And as far as teaching it, let me run this by you. Paul, in some of his writings, said some preach Christ for contention to add to his bonds, and other preach for the love of Christ. I'm not quoting that. But he said either way, he was happy because Christ was being preached. Some was preaching Christ to try to cause him harm, and some was preaching Christ for the love of the Lord. But either way, Christ was being preached. So I don't know as far as teaching. I don't think the teacher should have to have a seminary degree. How many old-fashioned preachers that was uneducated? Look at the disciples, the 12 apostles. The scripture says they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they were full of the Holy Ghost. They were saved, had their sins under the blood and sanctified holy.
Well,
they knew what it was.
Let me jump in here. Let me jump in here, Richard. I hear where you're going with all this. And again, I will say this, that we were not taught the Bible when I was in school growing up. That was something we learned at home, something we learned at church and in Sunday school. I would contend that many churches around the nation, is it fair for me to say many or some? I'll let you guys be the judge of that. I think a lot of churches have done away with Sunday school, and now you've basically got kids going to church for, worship concerts with the band and all the lights and the whatnot. I have got no problem with that, by the way. But I do wonder, have we watered down things so much in our churches that now we're expecting the public schools to pick up where the churches ought to be involved? So, Richard, so I hear where you're going, Richard, and I appreciate your call. Let's go to Danny in Selmer, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Danny, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, sir. One idea I have on this that would maybe non-offensive to a lot of people and would help a lot is if we did sort of a non-denominational type class, like a morality and ethics type class, which would teach, common decency of people. And it could also have, introduction to religions and say, the Christians believe this, Jews believe this, Muslims believe this, that type of thing, exposure to the material. Basically teaching people how not to steal, rob, and lie, and teach each other. And you don't have to say Christian or Muslim or Hindu or anything in particular, but you can say those and mention how those people believe or how non-believers believe and expose people to it. They can adopt what they feel is right, because a lot of kids these days, we've gotten so far away from it. The kids growing up, my dad was a professional, so was my mom, and we went to a Baptist church every Sunday, and I was raised up well. Some kids, daddy needs money, he goes and robs a liquor store. Mommy gets addicted to drugs and she prostitutes herself. That's how you earn a living. That's how you live. And they're not, and don't worry about prison because we got family in prison and stuff. There's a lot of that goes on. So that's what they're exposed to. If we get exposed to good morality and things like that, a good ethics morality class with an intro to various religions, it might make the world a better
place. Danny, I like this. I like that idea. That's a pretty darn good idea. So basically having a morality class as opposed to, teaching, let's turn to the book of Lamentations. So Danny, good idea. Let's see how they handle all of it. But I go back to this one thought, is that if you have a Baptist or a Methodist or a Lutheran, somebody's going to get upset and it's going to cause all you know what. So there needs to be some meeting of the minds. But for me, I say, let's get back to the basics. There's a lot of stuff that ought to be taught at home and not at the school, and I think that's some of it. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. By the way, Steve Bannon, not in a good mood today at all. Bannon is really upset over Matt Gaetz dropping out, and he is blaming. It's interesting, his thought here, and we'll talk to Dave Brad about this in just a moment. Anyway, he says, we took a casualty today. one of the best warriors we have in all his imperfections, and he's quite imperfect, as Donald Trump is imperfect, as Stephen K. Bannon is super imperfect, and Tucker and Vivek and Elon and Tulsi, and he goes on and on and on. Very imperfect instruments. But he said one of the reasons that we took it casually, and he's blaming the Trump transition team, and this is actually true. They took everybody off TV. They're not letting anybody do radio, and if they are, it's very, very random interviews on Fox or Newsmax, and that's it. And you can't do that. I mean, you have got to provide cover for these nominees when they're out there, and right now the strategy is to take them off the grid, and as a result, we're only getting one side, and a lot of these candidates are getting pounded. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend from Liberty University, former Congressman Dave Brandt. Dave, how are you doing today?
Hey, all good at Liberty University. Thanks for having me on, Todd.
Dave, first of all, I think Pam Bondi is going to make a terrific attorney general. I have no doubt about it. Matt Gaetz, it was going to be problematic anyway, but I think he would have done a good job as well. It just seems to me, and correct me if my thinking is wrong here, that the most important thing is President Trump and his agenda. Everything else is secondary.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why Gaetz is so key. And, you know, the president took a bullet for the country, came back, had a landslide bigger than anyone foresaw. And but Bannon is right. They have had members of Congress on the Intelligence Committee who have girlfriends, and I'm putting it very politely, with Chinese spies. And you know who I'm talking about. This is all very well known. And then our guys, we kind of bail out a little too soon, right? We don't stick in the fight to see, you know, can they prove any of this stuff? You know, and our team's just never prepared. They're so good. Pelosi and all them are so good. And the only thing I worry about is the muscle memory up there in the swamp. There were a bunch of fighters in the Freedom Caucus, right, that did some heroic work, right, with Boehner and Paul Ryan and McCarthy, et cetera, $7 trillion budget. And a lot of the people, just a few, and I don't want to be a whiner here, but a few of the crew who supported all of that are up there in leadership positions. And Gaetz and some of the other fighters are not in the ranks. And so that's my only I want what's best for President Trump and his agenda. And those fighters are the ones who are going to make that happen. And Bondi, to her credit, stood at his side when he was in need. And so that, you know, she proved her loyalty there.
Absolutely. And again, when it comes to Matt Gaetz, you know what? He hasn't been charged with a crime, period. And so that's the end of the story for me. If he gets arrested, if he gets charged, all right, we'll have that conversation. But it's silly for the media to go out there, and we know what they're going to do, Dave. They do this all the time. They take unfounded, unproven accusations. That becomes the gods. That becomes the truth out there. And then everybody's doing stories about it. It's unacceptable. And yet again, another example of the corrupt media that we have in this country.
Yeah. Yeah, and I hate to go here, but the swamp is also filled with swamp creatures from the Republican side. McConnell's
yes,
staying on. He's been fighting behind the scenes with a couple, of the likely suspects against Gaetz, five and then maybe five more. And then it looks like he's going to stick around to be on the Defense Appropriations Committee. Shocker, right? And so that's more signs of the deep state on our side. I just got news. I don't think Mike Rogers is in consideration anymore for FBI.
Yeah.
Right? He was in on the deep state stuff. And so, you know, if any of those folks get appointed, I mean, the grassroots are going to pull their hair out of their head.
It's insanity. And also, and this needs to be repeated, because, a lot of Christians out there, they think that, you know, Washington, D.C. ought to be run like, a church, or everybody needs to be like, you know, like they're in Sunday school. And yes, that's admirable. But the reality is Washington, D.C. is not Mayberry.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll double down on that one. I'm a little upset with my Christian community because I saw the numbers the other day, right? 150 million people voted, you know, just roughly just say 75 million each side, there's well over 100 million Christians that can vote, right? And so they like, you know, the Christians always want to go off on, you know, well, I don't like this guy and this is immoral and this is what, well, hey, Christian community, did you arrange for any great candidates to be at the ready, right? Have you worked with university kids and propped up the best and the brightest and shown them what it means to be a mature person ready for public service that's ready to fight and has the backbone and courage to do that? And the answer is no. We have totally failed, right? We've even failed at the local school district. We've let the public schools and all the freakazoids take over the public school boards. Now we're finally fighting back. And so the local level, the state level, we've been losing. Now we got some state freedom caucuses popping up around the country that are strong. At the national level, we don't have enough people because we all work for a living, right? And so I get it. We work for a living. We go to church. We support our, we're the little platoons that do good work. But we are not putting up. We got 100 million Christians. That's enough to blow out any election at the national level. So we should put up great candidates on our side that we want to see leading the country. And then we don't have to complain. But we're not doing the spade work.
Dave, from the you wear two hats, you know, again, academic as well as the business community. How important are the president's picks for commerce, for Treasury Secretary? And I know there's still a lot of scuttlebutt about that. And also, what do you think about abolishing the Department of Education? Good idea?
Well, you know I'm for the last.
It's a softball.
So that goes without saying, decentralize and shove the money back to the state. It pushed all money toward third grade literacy, right? If the kids can't even read, you know, quit all other objectives. Put all money toward third grade literacy, not at the federal level. Give it to the state. And then on the Treasury and all those sorts of picks, you know, I'm just going to pull the Christian tradition or even Aristotle. It's more important to have an ethical Christian person or a person with a strong moral fiber that knows what direction they're aiming at. What target are you aiming at? If you don't put a person there, they may have all the Harvard degrees and all the pedigrees from Goldman Sachs and all these kind of things, and they're brilliant at hitting the wrong target, right? That's what we've been doing for 30 years financially with the Federal Reserve, with the debt, with the deficit, with the production of human capital, application of technological growth. We are not coordinated and we're not aiming at the right target. And so, you know, they're hugely important is the answer to your question. And if you put a Wall Street folks in there again, right, Wall Street always gets rewarded by what's called the Greenspan put, right? After 07, 08, they printed, you know, $4 trillion in money and then another $4 trillion. There's $9 trillion on the Federal Reserve balance sheet. There's still $7.5 trillion. They printed that money out to bail out Wall Street and the fat cat. They got rich. The middle class got hammered. And this election, believe it or not, is the working out of that 07-08 financial crisis because that's why the 52% of the deplorables and the garbage decided to wake up and vote against that mess, and they elected Trump.
I've got 15 seconds, Dave. Trump floated the idea of abolishing the income tax if these tariffs are implemented. You think he was serious about that?
No, I don't think so. The guy that popped that off, the economist, tariffs can raise you at max, you know, 4 or 5% income, right? Right now, our government is, you know, 25% of GDP. Our government's bigger than China's, by the way.
Yeah. Yes. That's, all right. Dave, we got to leave it there, my friend. Have a good weekend. Good.
All right. You too, Todd. God bless you.
All right. Dave Brad, everybody. Good man. All right, 901-260-5926. We are going to the phones. It's Open Line Friday. And by the way, head on over to the website. Check out ToddStarnes.com, our Christmas store open for business. Lots of great gifts for you to get your conservative loved one. We'll be right back, America. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We have a story up at ToddStearns.com. You got to go check this one out. A Target staffer noticed that a lot of her colleagues, her coworkers, were wearing LGBT items on their name tag. So they would have like a little rainbow or, you know, transgender flag or whatever. And so anyway, this woman happened to be a devout Christian. So she thought, you know what, I'm going to write trust in Jesus on my name tag at Target. And she was told that she had to remove that. And the woman said, well, wait a second. Everybody else gets to wear the rainbow and all that kind of stuff. And why can't I say trust in Jesus? And they fired her. So now the woman, she pushed back and she actually got a hold of somebody at corporate headquarters and took her case directly to corporate. And corporate said, uh-oh. And they said, yeah, that's against the rule. We cannot ban somebody from writing trust in Jesus. So they have apologized and now they're offering the woman her job back. And it's unclear if she's going to go back to work there. That would be a bit difficult, I think, only because, you know, the manager is probably going to get in trouble for not knowing the rules. So, again, if you're going to let people, you know, put things on their name tag, you have to let everybody put things on their name tag. It's very simple, actually. All right, let's go to the phone lines. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in on this prayer and Bible conversation. Let's go to Georgia. Judy is on the line. Hi, Judy. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you. Likewise, Judy.
Yeah. So I tend to agree with Michael, the previous caller, that if you put that in schools where you're basically forcing people to prayer, you're going to have other religions come storming in. But my concern would be that my biggest concern, like the huge red flag that flies when I heard about this, was that I teach children's church. I have for over the years, and it's not easy. Kids have really tough questions, and even just teaching a basic lesson, things come up. And if you've got somebody who's not a believer, that doesn't even believe that the Bible is the Word of God, you're going to have all kinds of kids getting very mixed messages. We already have enough of that sometimes in the church. But I was raised in the Catholic Church, so I went to parochial school for about 5-6 years. Okay, we started the day with the Pledge of Allegiance and the Lord's Prayer, and that was it. So the Lord's Prayer is a pretty standard and great prayer to pray. But you know what? The disciples came and asked Jesus how to pray. If you're having kids go and they have to pray, that isn't really his way. He wants people to come to him willingly and not that they're forced to do it.
So Judy,
that's another thought on that.
This sounds like a very well thought out solution to all of this, and I do like the Lord's Prayer. That's a pretty common place, not necessarily for Muslims, but you know, I get it. May I ask you a question, Judy? So you went to parochial school, and I've always wanted to know this. The only thing I know about parochial school, I learned from the Blues Brothers. Did the nuns really rap people with the yardsticks, the rulers?
According to my dad and my big sister, they did. By the time I got there, there was a movie that came out in the 60s, and I think it was The Singing Nun, not The Flying Nun. That was, you know, a different deal. But they'd play guitar, and they would play, you know, we're one in the spirit, we're one in the Lord, and had a lot of fun with that. So the nuns that I was raised with did not do that, but like I think I got in just at the very beginning of them, the kinder, gentler nuns. So, but yes, they did. They used to. There was one older nun that would walk the halls with a big, you know, like a yardstick.
Oh wow!
And you know, you kept your distance from her because she could just reach out and touch you.
Yeah, it's not the way the Holy Spirit does.
Do not run in the halls.
All right, Judy. Well, thank you. Judy. I've always wanted to know. I feel much more educated now. Thanks, Judy. Good having you on the show.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving week.
Happy Thanksgiving, Judy. I thank you for that. Let's go to Bruce in Georgia. Hi, Bruce. What say you?
Good afternoon, Todd. How are you doing?
Bruce, I'm doing well. What's going on?
Well, I actually met you when you had your broadcast from Gainesville at WDUN, and I have what I think is part of the solution. Instead of teaching prayer in school, when I was in school in junior high, they called it back then, every morning after the Pledge of Allegiance, we had a minute of prayer, 90 seconds of not praying. I was the one who actually read it over the PA. Every morning I would select a phrase out of the Bible that was non-sectarian, just to let people, all the students, know that there's God, that you need to think about it. You could stand, you could sit, you could do whatever you wanted during it, but it was a 90-second phrase out of the Bible of something that would be motivating, give you the opportunity to think about something more than just yourself.
Yeah.
And we didn't teach it. There was no class on it. It just brought prayer into the school.
Bruce, again, I think that's a good common sense approach. And let's get real for a minute. You know, even the godless heathens in those schools, they're praying to Jesus on final exam day. I can tell you that right now. Everybody's praying. All right, Bruce, good hearing from you again, my friend. And we had so much fun at WDUN when we went there for the big book signing. Oh, that was the Twilight's Last Gleaming book signing. So we just had a blast. And folks there at WDUN, some of the nicest folks in the radio business. You know, as we go to break here and coming up, we're going to be talking to our good friend, Congressman Andy Biggs. I think for me, this is the prayer. You know, we mentioned the Lord's Prayer. Maybe this is the prayer that we need to be delivering in our public schools.
We ask you to remain standing for an invocation delivered tonight by Joe Nels, pastor of Family Baptist Church in Lebanon, Tennessee.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for all your blessings. You said, in all things give thanks. So we want to thank you tonight for these mighty machines that you brought before us. Thank you for the Dodges and the Toyotas. Thank you for the Fords. And most of all, we thank you for Roush and Yates partnering to give us the power that we see before us tonight. Thank you for GM Performance Technology and the R07 engines. Thank you for Sunoco Racing Fuel and Goodyear Tires that bring performance and power to the track. Lord, I want to thank you for my smoking hot wife tonight, Lisa. My two children, Eli and Emma, or as we like to call them, the Little E's. Lord, I pray you bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, please remain.
All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend, Congressman Andy Biggs from the great state of Arizona. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Todd, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
You know, Congressman, a lot to talk about. First of all, though, in Arizona, what is it going to take to get the election folks doing the right thing here where they can count all the ballots in one day?
A miracle, I'm afraid. We just elected a great new county elections official in spite of everything else going on. And so he'll be good. We've got new county supervisors. I think they're going to work on this. We increased our margins in the House and the Senate and the state legislature. They want to get this fixed and put together. I also think that the Fed, Congress needs to deal with the Voting Rights Act and the Help America Vote Act and fix those things so we can actually clean up what's going on at the state level, too.
Yeah, it's got to be done. It really does. Meanwhile, Congressman, we've been following the developments with Matt Gaetz. I mean, you know Matt. What's your reaction to what happened yesterday? Disappointed?
Yeah, I was disappointed for him, disappointed for the country. I mean, Matt would have been. I thought Matt was a great choice to be, and I called the president and told him that. I mean, Matt's a great choice, and Matt would have cleaned up DOJ. And you know, Pam Bondi, I know her far less than I know Matt very well, but I don't know Pam Bondi so well. But I hear good things about her. I've looked at her record, and I'm hopeful. Because one of the main jobs that has to happen if you're going to restore the rule of law of this country is to de-weaponize DOJ. That's what you need to do.
And I think she's going to be able to do that, Congressman. I really do. Steve Bannon earlier today talking about his disappointment, saying that really categorizing it as a casualty for our side. And he believes the transition team needs to let these nominees get out there and defend themselves out on the TV shows. You think that's a good idea?
Yeah, I do. And that's a good way to frame it as a casualty for our side. You know, Matt is one of the fiercest fighters, most effective fighters that we have in Congress. Yeah, I think I the sad part for me, the frustrating part for me, was that you potentially made it easier for just a few of the Republican senators to scuttle these nominations that President Trump is making. And I don't want that. I mean, Pete Hegseth's going to be good. I don't want him to be a domino-like casualty here because these people take power. I mean, and I am concerned as heck about the Senate because they just made Mitch McConnell the chairman of rules and the appropriations subcommittee chair of defense spending. I mean, what is it going to take for the Senate to realize that a mandate was given and that mandate included people like Matt Gaetz going in and cleaning up DOJ, and I hope Pam Bondi will do that, and I think she will, but I just don't like these individuals being potentially scuttled.
So part of the thing, we're not getting the full story on this one on Matt Gaetz. And, you know, I know Matt said he didn't want to be a distraction. Well, he was a distraction the moment he was named. So that was expected and that should have been baked into the cornbread. So I'm wondering if there was something else. And there had been some reporting that at least four, maybe five U.S. senators, Republicans, were going to be no votes and they could not be swayed. So I'm wondering if it was done because we're going to have rogue Republicans in the U.S. Senate. And if that's the case, who else is going to be on their hit list?
Well, that's exactly right. That's the point I agree with you on, Todd. As we look at this, you just go, we knew Matt would be a distraction. We knew Matt's a lightning rod, right? I mean, that's what's one of the things that makes him effective, quite frankly. But if you're going to have, that's my point, you take three or four senators, and if they're going to be the ones that are standing in the way of the mandate of the voters across this country, we're going to have a really tough time getting this very important Trump agenda, the America First agenda through. And by the way, don't forget, that's what happened in 2017 when the leadership of the House and the Senate put down speed sticks that slowed down President Trump. And that is the swamp, the uniparty barking back at us. And that's what has me concerned right now. I love Pam Bondi is going to do great, I'm sure. But I love the Matt Gaetz pick because I know him and I know what he's capable of.
So I want to share this with you. This is from someone I do not know on social media, on the X, saying her name is Insurrection Barbie. But she makes an interesting point, and I want to see if she's got something here. We understand that John Thune is making Mitch McConnell head of the Rules Committee. Her interpretation of that is that he plans on stopping President Trump's agenda in the Senate. Why would you put someone like a Mitch McConnell in that position as chairman of the Rules Committee?
Well, there is, I can't think of any other reason other than that. And that's what I'm so doggone concerned about, is because the Rules Committee is basically where you run every bill through, and you can put it in a drawer, you can kill it, you can change it dramatically, you can prevent amendments from coming from members on the fourth, and it signals to me that things are not going to be as cohesive and unified as they need to be to get this important agenda. And by the way, this is a generational thing, I think. And these opportunities don't come along every day. And I just don't, I don't want to see the Senate blow this thing up because they don't like Donald Trump. The bottom line is there's a mandate out there. There's a reason that they have a majority in the Senate now. And trust me, there's a reason that we saved the House. And it is, you can raise all the money in the House you want, but if Donald Trump doesn't win and have coattails, we don't get this kind of majority we have in the Senate, and you don't keep the House.
That's it. And that's the concern here, is that the Senate may try to throw a wrench into things, and it certainly looks like that's what John Thune is doing here with these movements. And without them on board, some of the more controversial aspects of the president's agenda may not make it through the Senate. Is that a possibility?
It's a very real possibility. And think about it. All the funding that goes through that we need to fund President Trump's everything from deportation to deregulation, the ideas of actually eliminating agencies or programs. All of those require, by the way, they require the Senate, and the Rules Committee is going to be huge there. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm hearing from some people in the House that don't like President Trump or the agenda as well. And if these guys start trying to make deals, because some of them say, well, we got to have amnesty here and there on the border. I'm just telling you, the American people will not stand for that.
Mm. Wow. No, they won't, Congressman, and we'll be there fighting tooth and nail on it. The most important thing, and I think the election results prove this, is in a lot of cases, voters, they did not vote down ballot. They voted for Donald Trump. That tells me this was a Trump victory, and the Republicans need to get on board here. They've got to.
Yeah.
All right.
They have to, Todd.
All right, Congressman, we got to leave it there. Have a great weekend, and happy Thanksgiving to you, Congressman, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Happy Thanksgiving, Todd, to you and yours.
All right, Congressman Andy Biggs, and you heard it there. Not only is there a very real possibility that Senate Republicans will stop some of the president's agenda, he is hearing that there are even some in the House that don't like Trump. So we're going to keep an eye on all this, folks. We're not going to let them get away with it. We're going to be on them like white on rice. All right, there you go. Like a tick on a hound dog. Hang tight. Hour 3 coming up. Your calls as well. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I got a question for you. I was listening to our local talk radio station, KWAM, in Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Dieter, all of what, 26 years old, is now the number one talk radio host in the market in the morning on Morning Drive. And he's crushing the conglomerates that are operating in town. And it's a huge show. Everybody's listening. So anyway, I'm driving in today, and I heard something very disturbing on the program. And I don't know who's responsible for this, but I'm going to get to the bottom of it. I can assure you that. Dylan, you need to fess up here if you're responsible. But I want to know who was playing Christmas music for bumper music today. That's what I want to know. Who's playing Christmas music? It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
Todd, what's wrong with that?
Because I think that you should play, a lot of the radio stations in town are already playing Christmas music, and it's, you do that the day after Thanksgiving.
It's a very controversial topic nowadays.
It's not. It's in the book of Hezekiah in the Old Testament.
There's no Thanksgiving music, Todd. You have to think about that. No Thanksgiving music to play before Christmas music.
No. Hezekiah 3:14. I have it memorized. Thou shalt not play Christmas music before Thanksgiving.
I'll fact check you on that.
Thus saith the Lord. I'm fairly sure. They need to teach that in public schools. That's what they need to do. Is that a thing now, ladies and gentlemen? Because, I mean, you can't, can we not just let the holidays, like, you know, say, can we not just savor the holidays? Why do we have to rush right into, I mean, we've still got people that have pumpkins out on their front porch and they're starting to decorate with the Christmas ornaments. Or maybe, am I being, no, I'm not being a Grinch, Dylan. I'm just saying, I like to enjoy and savor the holidays. So I'm curious to hear from you about that. By the way, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926, open line Friday. And we're going to go right to the phones. I told you we were going to do that. So let's start with Kathy in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. All right, Kathy, before we talk about what you're talking about, Kathy, do you already have the Christmas decorations up?
No, I don't have Christmas decorations up. But in Portland, Oregon, K103 is 24/7 Christmas music. And I enjoy turning it on when I want some peace. I like it. I like having the option.
I hear you, Kathy. Now you're making me feel bad, Kathy. I'm just...
You don't need to feel bad. I mean, I didn't like it when they, you know, they start putting Christmas stuff up in October. That's ridiculous.
You know what? We can agree on that, Kathy. Yes, it's ridiculous. Bah humbug. All right, let's talk about Antifa. What can I help you with today, Kathy?
Okay, well, I just have been wondering where Antifa is. Why aren't they out creating bedlam? Has George Soros decided not to pay them and not spend the money because it didn't work for the past two cycles?
It's a good question, Kathy. Or they may be in hibernation waiting to come out in January. And I think that, honestly, I think that's when we are going to see Antifa explode right around Inauguration Day.
You reckon? Okay.
But you're telling me. But you're telling me they're not there. They're not there because that's sort of like their that's their native land, Portland.
That's their home base, Portland, and they're nowhere to be seen.
Interesting. Okay, that's interesting. All right, what else can I help you with, Kathy?
Well, the other thing is that America is breathing a sigh of relief. Right? We all are. We're just trying to calm down. And we're so happy. But we need to remember the Republicans that are putting hindrances toward Donald Trump. We got to remember, we got to report on what they are voting for or against. And just remind the public who is behind the person they selected or what's behind. You know what I'm trying to say.
I know. No. I get it, Kathy. I get it. I know exactly what you're trying to say.
We really need to pay attention because for so long, we have not been paying attention. And I think that the left is going to groom. They're saying they want Kamala. But I think they're grooming Hakeem Jeffries.
They could be. They could be. But Kathy, the Democrat Party is in such disarray, right? If you think it's bad on the Republican side, it's about 1,000 times worse on the Democrat side because they have warring factions and they're huge. You've got the progressives led by AOC. And for lack of a better term, you've got the more traditional liberals run by Nancy Pelosi. And Nancy may be preaching, you know, oh, we're all unified together. But behind the scenes, they're fighting tooth and nail over who will eventually control the party. And really, I think depending on which which side wins will determine whether or not they will have a Hakeem Jeffries or, you know, a Gavin Newsom as the standard bearer for their party. I don't think it's going to be Pete Buttigieg. I really don't. I think the men of America have finally risen up and they're done with all the woke stuff. And I think even the Democrats are recognizing that they've got a big problem on their hands. Kathy, I got to run, but God bless you and thank you for calling in today. Let's go to Diane in Maine, WLOB, our great affiliate there. Hi, Diane, what's on your mind?
Todd, how are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'll tell you something, Todd. My feet haven't touched the ground since Donald Trump got elected 2.5 weeks ago. I was sick the day he got elected, but I recovered rather quickly when I saw the results come in. But I just left the post office, Todd, and I went out and got my check for Samaritan's Purse to help the hurricane victims. I want people not to forget these people. The death toll keeps rising all the time. And it doesn't seem like our government is doing very well at all in helping these people.
Yeah, Diane, yeah, you're absolutely right, and they're not. And it's a tragedy what's happened over there. And the death toll continues to rise. Many people are still homeless, and it's really every man for himself out there.
I know. And I'm also very upset about Matt Gaetz not getting in. I think he was Trump's very first pick, and I think MAGA just lost a very big warrior today. And I want to add one more thing, Todd, about Lakin Riley's trial in Georgia. And I heard something that has struck me and stayed with me. It was Lakin Riley's roommate who says when she goes out for a walk or wherever she goes out, she is constantly looking over her shoulder. This is what this Democrat party, this Democrat regime, has done to all women, children in this country, that when we go to work, when we go and do errands, when we go to school, we have to look over our shoulder for fear we're going to get our heads bashed in. And I hope the Senate, the House, and the Democrat party listen to me, because I would love to start a new act, Look Over Your Shoulder Act, to get these illegals out of this country once and for all. How's that sound, Todd?
I love it, Diane, and that's a great idea. Somebody actually, I'm not sure who did this. I like to try to give people credit when they write something, and I cannot remember for the life of me who said this. But one of the things I love this idea. They said, let's go into the red states first, root out all the illegals in the red states, and then we can go into the Democrat, you know, into the blue states. But let's start in the red states and get them taken care of, and then we'll go into the blue states.
Well, how hard would it be to start this act, Todd, so that the House and the Senate do not get put aside about, you know, forgetting what's going on in this country? We need to get these people out. American women and children are at risk. Their safety is the utmost thing on my mind right now. And we don't have it anymore. We've lost that safety, Todd, in this country.
No, we have. And, Diane, it's a great idea. We'll mention it to some of our friends on the House Freedom Caucus and see what they have to say. But, Diane, and we'll keep you updated.
Please, the Look Over Your Shoulder Act. I think we need to, Todd.
Definitely. All right. Diane, thank you for that. Let's go to John in Morehead City, North Carolina, listening to us on The Talk Station. Hi, John. What's on your mind?
Todd, I got something that probably put a smile on your last caller's face. I think Matt Gaetz should be appointed to Marco Rubio's seat when he has to step down as he is going to be the NITS Secretary of State.
Wow, Senator Gaetz, could you imagine Matt Gaetz?
I think that would put a spin in D.C. and all those people that did not like him up there and shun him already would have to look over their shoulder and worry about what's going to happen next.
I think that's a very interesting idea. Now, we do know, John, there have been some speculation that he would go back to the House of Representatives in the new Congress, but Gaetz is not going to do that. So he put out a statement, or he was on with Charlie Kirk today and said, yeah, that's not going to happen. So he's got something else in the works, and we'll see how that plays out. But who knows? Stranger things have happened, John.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. Thank you for listening. Hey, folks, don't forget tonight, 5 o'clock, and we're going to be actually talking on the show to Seb Gorka. Also, the young man who was just on from East Tennessee State University, we're going to be talking to him on the show as well. By the way, Newsmax is making some news of their own. They just filed to go public, and now you have an opportunity to become a co-owner of one of the top U.S. news brands in the country. That's right. It's called Newsmax and their planned IPO. And now you could be eligible to buy preferred shares in Newsmax. If you would like information, go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Be sure to consult with your attorney or financial advisor. Again, NewsmaxInvest.com. All right, so Pete Hegseth is going to be the next nominee, and they're going to try to Kavanaugh this guy. They're going to try to Bork this guy. This is from the Federalist. The police report about Pete Hegseth's alleged sexual assault vindicates him of criminality. Now, I've had a chance to read the police report, and it's disgusting. It's sickening. But again, this was a decision made between two consenting adults. And based on this 22-page report, the police report, and this is from 7 years ago, I don't believe the woman is being honest here. And I may be wrong. This is just my impression of reading the report. And of course, the police came to the same conclusion that there was no crime committed here. And it's just all very, it's sad. But again, and I want to preface this because we're going to get into this, and I just want you to be aware of what's going on. I don't think Hegseth did not break the law. He was not charged. The police thoroughly investigated this, and he was not charged with a crime. There was nothing there. That being said, Hegseth did acknowledge that all of the sexual activity took place, that he was drunk. This woman was there at a conservative women's conference. She was there with her husband and kids. And I don't know what her thinking is, but it seems to me that maybe, just maybe, she felt bad that she was having sex with Pete Hegseth in the room, in his hotel room, as opposed to being with her husband in their hotel room. Maybe. I don't know. I wasn't there. And again, I feel bad because this is a horrible story. But there is no criminality. If we're talking about it from a moral standpoint, yeah, it's problematic big time. But again, does this impact Pete Hegseth in his role as Secretary of Defense? Eyewitnesses and text message evidence was in the report. The alleged victim, identified only as Jane Doe, after a not moderate night of drinking, during which Doe says at some point she felt she may have been drugged. But the video camera evidence shows that it was actually Hegseth who appeared to be stumbling around drunk, and she was guiding him. Also, she waited, 4 or 5 days to go to the hospital, 4 or 5 days after the event, to go to the hospital. So it really is a matter, not only is that a matter of he said, she said, but the reality is there was no evidence that anything criminal had happened. So there you go. It's ugly. And if you read the police report, you're going to be sickened. So the question is, does any of this have any sort of an impact on whether or not Pete Hegseth can be a good Secretary of Defense? It's a good question. And it's a fair question. And I would like to think that the transition team, and follow me with my thinking on this, the transition team, I'm assuming, knew all of this and vetted Pete Hegseth. I'm assuming that's the case. And if they didn't, then that's a problem. And the transition team needs to do a better job of protecting Donald Trump. But again, the issue for me is that this was a married woman leading Pete Hegseth back to his room, and her husband was there. Staffers at the hotel described Hegseth as, quote, very intoxicated. By contrast, the victim, or the alleged victim, Jane Doe, was not intoxicated and was standing on her own and was very coherent. The hotel surveillance video showed Jane Doe and Hegseth walking together with arms locked together. Hegseth's testimony goes into detail about what happened in his hotel room and maintains it was consensual. And again, no charges were ever brought. Hegseth paid the woman a settlement fee at the time to make the drama go away. I'm not surprised by that. And we see this a lot at Fox, at the network, where Hegseth was probably concerned that if this came out, he might lose his job. This was all when the Me Too stuff was going on. So I get that. So there you go. The evidence seems to imply that Hegseth was pursued by a married woman who then regretted the decision she made. That's coming from the Federalist. It's ugly, folks. And again, you're going to have to make those decisions for yourself. But Pete Hegseth, again, if Trump was provided all of this information, Fox News says they didn't even know about this. But if the transition team knew about it, they vetted it, and they say, you know what, as sordid as it is, we don't believe, you know, the guy, you know, did anything criminal, and so we think he's going to be our guy at the Defense Department. We shall see, but they're coming after Hegseth, and it's going to get nasty. So just be prepared for that. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, Open Line Friday. Whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to ask me, you can do by giving me a call, 901-260-5926.
I want to talk about, Todd, sorry I just broke into the... I heard that slander and defamation at the top of the hour.
Why were you...
I want to talk about how you literally came after me for playing Christmas music on my show this morning.
Apparently, most of our audience agrees with you.
Good, because we won the election. Everything is merry. Everything is bright. Trump is president-elect and God is on the throne. So that tells me we can celebrate now. So maybe next week, Dylan, you start playing Christmas music tunes from the Todd Stern Show.
Sydney said this from California. Good morning, Todd. It's still morning time out there. I say play Christmas songs all year round. Nothing wrong with singing songs about the Lord all year round. Have a great weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Why? That's what K-Love is for.
No.
Well, they play three songs just over and over and over again. But
that's bad.
It's terrible.
That's bad.
So I have a question, though, about, and again, folks, am I off base here? I just think I have nothing against Christmas music.
So are you playing Thanksgiving music?
Well, no. It's just that's the lull.
At least play Thanksgiving music. I even play Thanksgiving music.
I think on Friday, that's when people should put up their trees and start playing the Christmas music.
Pa humbug.
Don't think I am.
I mean, it is weird, though, that they don't have... You would think there would be more Thanksgiving songs. It's always a bummer. There's a couple hymnals. There's songs in the hymnals that are about Thanksgiving. Counting your blessings.
Oh, turkey leg. Oh, turkey leg. How delicious are you?
Yeah, if you guys also know of Thanksgiving music, please call Todd.
Is there a Thanksgiving... I mean, you've got the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Oh, there is some controversy. Have you heard about this?
No.
So, you know, there's only one black dude and Charlie Brown, Franklin, right?
Yeah.
And so they're having this is a true controversy. They're addressing it this year. I think they're putting a statement or something in front of the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving cartoon. Because when they're having Thanksgiving, all of the white children are on one side of the table and poor little Franklin is
by himself. By his lonesome.
By his lonesome.
Oh. His life matters too.
It's All peanuts matter. Let's go to Shirley in Georgia. Shirley, I understand you have a funny turkey yard sign.
Yes, sir. It says, the turkey's telling Santa Claus, move over, big boy, and wait your turn.
Move over, big boy.
That is sweet.
I love that. I love that, Shirley.
Now, yes. Yeah, 104.7, the fish is already paying Christmas, and I want to be thankful. I want Thanksgiving.
Wow. So what she's saying is the turkey gets maybe a weekend as opposed to Santa Claus, who gets, I don't know, Thanksgiving, all Thanksgiving and December. He gets a couple months.
Yes. So I just wanted to say that. I thought it was cute.
Shirley, do you do the cooking for Thanksgiving?
Yes, sir, and I just went to town today and finished up my list.
Is that right? Now, what's going to be on the menu? What's on your table for Thanksgiving, Shirley?
Turkey and ham and dressing and mashed potatoes and green beans and a squash casserole. Ooh. And I have pumpkin pie and a cherry yum yum. And I have picked black walnuts and I'm going to make a black walnut cake.
Wow, that sounds delicious. Now, tell me, what was the yum yum part? The cherry rum rum yum yum?
Yeah, cherry yum yum.
Yum yum. What is cherry yum yum?
Well,
you would have.
It's got graham cracker, and then it's got Cool Whip, and then it's got cherries on top. But there's some more stuff.
Delicious. Wow. All right, I love it.
Now Shirley, I'm hungry.
Shirley, it sounds like you're going to have some happy folks around your Thanksgiving table.
Yes, children. That's why I love Thanksgiving, because they all come at Thanksgiving.
I love it. Well, Shirley, you give them all big hugs, and thank you for listening to the program.
Thank you, Todd. We listen to you every day.
Well, thank you, Shirley. I appreciate that. I want some of that yum-yum, that cherry yum-yum.
Yum-yum sauce.
Sounds good.
That sounds oriental and Asian.
You can't say that anymore. No, you can't say oriental.
I can't?
No, that's inappropriate or something.
By the way, Johnny Cash has a song called Thanksgiving Prayer.
And, is that right?
Yeah. So there are a couple of songs that I guess they say are, Diddy also has a Thanksgiving song, but we're not going to play that one. No.
Yeah, we're not going to play Diddy. This is an interesting story from Gallatin, Tennessee. That's near Nashville. A Christmas tree that displayed support for the LGBTQ+ community was taken down at a public library. So the library has more than 20 Christmas trees on display. Each tree is sponsored and decorated by different organizations. So the gay pride group in town decorated a tree with rainbow colors. And now it's been taken down because they say trees with political statements are not allowed.
Yeah. And they're about ready to riot and storm, like an insurrection, that library. It's a big controversy.
Well, somebody got their tinsel in a twist over this.
Yeah. Guys, can we play the quick reaction? Take a listen to this.
Well, a Christmas tree was taken down at the Gallatin Public Library for showing support for the LGBTQ+ community. Now, that tree was decorated in pride flags and dedicated to an all-inclusive Nashville youth chorus.
A lot of this does seem like it's not really about the trees. It seems like it's a lot more about what the trees represent.
I think a lot of people were really upset that, especially at Christmas time, that something like this would happen. It kind of makes our county appear that we're not inclusive and accepting, and that's the farthest thing from the truth.
The pride tree was originally here on the second floor among the young adult nonfiction computer lab areas.
There are a few people that have a lot of power now that feel like they can advocate for their specific agendas or, you know, demographic.
I'd like to say this was really shocking, but it really wasn't. My understanding is, you know, Christmas is supposed to be to celebrate Jesus's love for everybody. So it seems kind of counterintuitive to remove the tree.
Mary.
Yeah, there you go.
It was a fabulous tree. It just looked fabulous.
Christ loves everybody, Todd.
Fabulous.
Even the gay Christmas trees.
Well, you know, Well, what does the song say? Dawn, we now are
gay apparel.
Gay apparel, right? Yeah. It's, I mean, so what exactly does that mean? I mean, at Christmas time.
She said, oh, that's a great... Can we translate that?
What sort of apparel is it?
Gay apparel. I don't want to know. So my understanding is, she says, Christmas is supposed to be celebrating Jesus' love for everybody. So doesn't it seem counterintuitive to remove the tree? That's a question for theology Todd to answer. Theologian, yeah. Todd.
Well, for one thing, the Christmas tree is secular, so they didn't have a Christmas tree at the manger scene. But there's actually, I'm trying to remember, there was, oh yes, I remember this. So there was a, last year, there was a big controversy over gay nativity scenes.
Oh, no.
And they had, yeah, so Jesus had two daddies.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Joseph and, I don't know, Carl? I don't know who the other...
Martin.
What?
Joseph and Martin. So,
holy cow.
That is blasphemy. I mean, that's insane.
Yes. Well, in this one, this individual said, I create my own queer nativity scenes. One has two Marys. Well, you know, you can't have enough Marys in the gay community. And the baby Jesus, and the other has two Josephs with Jesus. And you can't, I'm just surprised lightning hasn't struck.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
that's just,
I don't
really
even
want
to know about the three wise men, what that's all about.
It's a throuple. they call it a throuple.
Yeah, I'm sure. And this is the one nativity scene that City Hall probably won't take down. They'll spotlight that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, and everybody's very upset about this. So anyway, last year, that was the big thing. As a matter of fact, NBC News did a big story. Now, blasphemous same-sex nativity scene angers conservatives. This happened in Italy.
Wow.
I'm surprised it didn't happen, you know, in California.
Yeah.
Or maybe Gallatin, Tennessee.
So there you go. Last year, it was the nativity scene. This year, they want to make Christmas trees gay.
What is gay apparel? Dawn, we now are gay apparel. Fa la 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 la. La 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 la. Hey, hey, hey.
Oh,
what does that mean?
You're going to get a lawsuit for this one.
Well, and now they're going to say that, you know, Rudolph and the reindeer, you know, there was something going on there. You know, you did have Prancer. And the alcoholic blitzed. Well, that was Blitzen. My apologies.
I'm dying.
It's wow. It's one of those days.
Yeah. It's
all right. Fascinating. And there is another story I wanted to ask you about, Dieter. You know, a lot of people are talking about Gen Z, and they all moved to the conservative side of the ballot box. Nearly 40% of young Americans get their news from influencers, and many of them lean to the right. This is according to a study from Pew Research Center. Are you surprised to hear that most of your generation is not watching these people? I don't even watch the evening news. David Muir.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to pull some rando off the street that's under the age of 26 and ask them, do you know who Jake Tapper, Savannah Guthrie, Hoda Kotb, David Muir, Lindsay Davis, Sean Hannity, even. I'm just saying, they don't watch cable news. So where are you getting your news if it's not for cable? YouTube. You have a lot of kids getting their news on YouTube. TikTok, Instagram, Rumble, Getter, podcasts like this one. It's surging right now, which is a big old win. And probably why on your show yesterday you were talking about Trump has seen a surge with young voters. That's why.
According to this report, news influencers were more likely to lean conservative, 27% explicitly identifying as Republican or pro-Trump, compared to 21% who identified as liberal. On Facebook, there were three times as many explicitly conservative news influencers, 39% to 13%. Instagram conservatives outnumbered libs 30 to 25. Well, that's because conservatives look a lot hotter than liberals do. I'm just going to, you know, it's scientific.
Oh, can I go back to the gay apparel real quick? Because we got some answers.
Oh,
they say the Times, that was not the word that we use. Gay was synonymous with happy. So happy apparel. Our good friend Vicky, who's making Christmas cookies right now, just sent that in.
Oh, really?
So
wow,
it's
okay.
Happy Apparel.
So they stole the word. They stole the rainbow
mm-hmm.
from the Bible.
Yes,
and so now they stole the words too.
Mm-hmm.
So all right.
They're thieves. But anyways, all of that to say, sorry, Todd. We just got some breaking news about the word. You're exactly right, and I think it only grows wider, this gap between young people and how they consume news, and ultimately what happens to all the people that are watching these mm-hmm. late night shows.
It's a good point, because again, the late night, I mean, back when I was growing up, you know, David Letterman, hilarious. Then you had Jay Leno, you had Johnny Carson. Wow. And when they would talk about politics, it was just funny. This
yeah.
you know, now all of a sudden your nighttime shows are just so serious,
mm-hmm.
and people, they're just not watching that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
So would you say, though, that, again, when you're talking about a Joe Rogan, who's really not a conservative or a liberal, he's just kind of a, you know, kind of a melting pot of beliefs. Would you say those kinds of things are what's attracting people?
People, especially this generation, they aren't black and white. If you listen to an evening news, opinion news, everything is right or wrong, black or white. This generation, they don't see black or white. They don't see right or wrong, which is probably dangerous. Everything is gray. Everything is nuanced. So if you listen to Joe Rogan, he takes about 2 hours to get to his answers. They go through all of the ends of the earth to try to find reasoning. And it's interesting. It's a different way of consuming news. But I do think this generation is a lot more nuanced.
So I just can't get up and say, that's stupid, and move on. You've got to, you know, explore why it's stupid, or it may not be stupid.
Yeah.
And then come to the conclusion after 3 hours that it was in fact stupid.
We just don't have that time here around on the Todd Starn show.
Yeah,
there's too much to talk about.
Yeah, a lot to talk about here.
Yeah.
All right. You know, my favorite Christmas carol, I'm Dreaming of a Caucasian Christmas. It's a lovely song.
I knew that. There was somewhere you were going with that. Well, then let's play it on the other side of the break. I bet you won't.
All right. 901.
I'm baiting Todd.
901-260-5926. You're the EP. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starn Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. By the way, the Oklahoma governor says that he's going to deport all illegals held in state prisons. That'll save taxpayers $36,000 a day. So thank you very much, Governor Kevin Stitt there in Oklahoma. Let's go to the phone lines, the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark on the line. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, I wanted to touch bases on your Christmas thing, but I wanted to hit on this one first. You know, this earth was created by one God, and Christianity. It's people themselves that have separated their religion to suit their needs. And this other one goes out to Jerry, the liberal. As far as some of the atheists are concerned, I mean, and I have known a lot of them, they have more skeletons than a graveyard. You can't really, you know, they want to live by their own rules, their own gods. They want to feel that, you know, some of them feel that lying and cheating and everything else is acceptable. And it's not. And I'll let you touch on that, and I'll go with the Christmas.
Well, real quick here. No, I hear your thoughts on that. And again, I think it goes, the heart of it is, are we expecting the schools to teach something that we ought to be teaching at home? And that's, you know, for me, I like the idea of maybe the Lord's Prayer and the kids knowing the Ten Commandments. I think that's important. I think they need to understand what was it that compelled the founding fathers to create our nation. I think those things are important. So, yeah. All right. We're about running out of time here.
People are just in the spirit early. They want Christmas to last as long as possible. Seeing it takes a lot of work to set up, and it's relaxing seeing those lights and listening to Christmas music. Not to mention Black Friday is the day after. And you have a wonderful Thanksgiving and send all those pictures.
Mark,
of the food that you're going to be eating.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, sir, and God bless all of you great folks down at the Villages. You know, I'll never forget, I had to cover Black Friday once at Fox News, and they sent me to Macy's at Herald Square in New York City. And I nearly got trampled to death by a mob of women in Ladies Unmentionables right before a national news report. Oh, geez, Lord, that was That was a terrible day. All right, folks, it has been a lot of fun this week. Don't forget to head over to the website, toddstearns.com. We do have so many wonderful, great things for you to check out there. By the way, get yourself a copy of the Biscuit book. It makes a great stocking stuffer. Maybe get a great coffee mug, our blessed, not bitter coffee mugs. You're sending a very subtle message as you're enjoying your delicious coffee at your coffee shop. And also, folks, our free podcast and newsletter, we are growing by leaps and bounds. And as Ben said, next generation conservatives are consuming their news, many of them through the podcast. So we want to make sure that you get your young person hooked into the Todd Stern Show. It's been a lot of fun here, folks. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Be sure to tune in. Seb Gorka is going to be with us. We're going to have a lot of fun with that conversation. All right, folks, get out there. Have a great Friday. And whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend, America.